Okay, so picture this. You're a lawyer, right? And you're working on a personal injury case, typical stuff. Your client's all set to get some settlement money. They sign a paper saying, "Hey, pay my doctor straight from that settlement money."
Makes sense.
Seems pretty simple, right?
Yeah.
But then the
Uh-oh.
client has a change of heart. They're like,
Oh.
"Wait, no, scratch that, don't pay the doctor."
Oh boy.
What do you do?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Well, that's exactly the mess the lawyers found themselves in a case called Herzog v. Irace.
Oh yeah, Herzog v. Irace, a classic.
And that's what we're going to unpack in this deep dive today.
Love a good deep dive.
So the big question is, when a client assigns those settlement funds,
Right.
but then pulls a 180,
Yeah.
what are the lawyer's obligations?
What do you have to do ethically, legally?
Exactly, what does the law say?
Right.
Well, the main Supreme Judicial Court in Herzog v. Irace,
Okay.
they laid down the law pretty clearly.
They did.
And this is important stuff for anyone in law.
Especially for all you future lawyers out there.
Exactly. This is going to affect your everyday practice.
Absolutely.
So what do they say?
Well, they basically said that if a client makes a valid assignment of their settlement money, the lawyers have to follow through on that.
Even if the client changes their mind later?
Even if they say, hey, never mind.
That's pretty definitive.
It is. It really sets a precedent.
So today we're going to break down this whole ruling,
Yeah, let's dissect it.
figure out the court's logic, and most importantly,
A big question.
what does this mean for lawyers?
When these kind of financial arrangements pop up,
Especially in settlements.
right in the thick of things.
Exactly. So let's set the scene.
Okay, back to the beginning.
We've got Gary Jones.
Our main plot.
He hired the law firm Irace and Lowry
Hi, Rayson Lowry.
for a motorcycle accident claim.
Standard personal injury case.
You know, bread and butter stuff.
Seems straightforward enough.
But then things took a turn.
What happened?
Mr. Jones had some shoulder problems.
Oh no, unrelated to the motorcycle.
Totally unrelated, needed surgery.
Ouch.
And that's where Dr. John Herzog comes in.
The doctor enters the picture.
Now, as you might imagine,
Happens all the time.
Jones needed this surgery but couldn't pay up front.
Yeah, medical bills are no joke.
So he made a deal with Dr. Herzog.
Okay, what'd they work out?
And this is where it gets interesting.
I'm intrigued.
On June 14, 1988,
Specific date. Okay.
Jones writes a letter.
A letter. Okay.
And this piece of paper,
This one single letter.
it's the whole crux of the case.
Wow, so much hinges on this letter.
It really does. So in this letter, Jones writes, quote, "I, Gary Jones, request that payment be made directly from settlement of a claim currently pending for an unrelated incident to John Herzog DO for treatment of a shoulder injury, which occurred at a different time."
Okay, so he's basically saying, when I get that settlement money from my motorcycle case, pay Dr. Herzog for my shoulder surgery.
Exactly. And that word request.
Request. That's interesting.
It seems a little iffy, right?
Yeah, like, is that really legally binding?
We'll definitely come back to that
Hey,
later.
good. We need to unpack that.
But for now, let's keep going.
All right, so what happens next?
So, Dr. Herzog wanting to make sure he gets paid.
Makes sense. You got to get paid for your work.
He contacts Irace and Lowry.
The lawyers, okay.
Tells them about this assignment of benefits.
Basically, hey, I'm supposed to get paid from this settlement.
Exactly. And here's the kicker.
What's that?
Irace and Lowry's own employee
Oh, wow. Someone from their own firm?
apparently confirmed to Dr. Herzog that this letter was enough to guarantee payment from the settlement.
So they gave him the green light, essentially.
It seems that way.
Wow, that's going to come back to bite them.
It really will. But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Right back to the story.
So Dr. Herzog, feeling reassured,
Feeling confident he'll get paid.
he goes ahead and performs the surgery.
Okay, so the surgery's done.
And he treats Jones for about a year.
So there's a significant period of treatment here.
Exactly. Not just a one-time thing.
Okay, got it.
Now, fast forward to May 1989.
A year later.
Okay. The motorcycle case settles.
Finally.
And it's a decent chunk of change.
How much are we talking?
$20,000.
20,000. Wow, that's pretty significant.
Yeah, not bad. But this is where the agreement goes sideways.
Oh, what happened?
Remember Jones had said to pay Dr. Herzog?
Right from the settlement money.
Well, now he changes his tune.
Oh no, what does he do?
He tells Irace and Lowry
The lawyers.
to hold off on paying Dr. Herzog.
He's like, actually, never mind.
Yeah, and he says he'll take care of it himself.
Oh boy, classic. I'll handle it myself.
And as we often see,
Well, this doesn't usually end well.
it doesn't end well at all.
What happens?
Irace and Lowry, they follow their client's latest instructions.
So they listen to Jones, even though he'd already signed that assignment.
Right, they distribute that $20,000
Okay.
to Jones himself and some other creditors.
But not to Dr. Herzog.
Not a penny to Dr. Herzog.
Wow, so the doctor's left high and dry.
Exactly. and to add insult to injury.
Oh no, what now?
The check Jones wrote to Dr. Herzog.
The one where he said he'd handle it himself.
It bounced.
Oh no, that's just adding salt to the wound.
So Dr. Herzog is left unpaid.
After doing the surgery and a year of treatment?
For all that work?
Yikes, that's a bad situation.
So Dr. Herzog, he's not going to take this line down.
What does he do?
He sues Irace and Lowry.
He goes after the lawyers directly.
Saying, hey, you were supposed to honor that assignment.
That makes sense. He was relying on that agreement.
And this is where the legal battle really heats up.
Courtroom drama.
The case goes through the main court system.
Okay, so multiple levels of court.
First, it goes to the district court.
And what do they say?
They rule in favor of Dr. Herzog.
So they say the lawyers messed up.
Then it goes up to the superior court.
And they agree with the lower court.
They uphold the ruling.
Okay, so the lawyers are losing this battle.
But Irace and Lowry, they're not giving up.
They're determined.
They appeal all the way to the Maine Supreme Judicial Court.
Wow, the highest court in Maine.
So by the time it gets to this level?
We're dealing with some serious legal questions.
Major legal questions.
This is going to have some serious implications.
Definitely. So let's dig into how the Maine Supreme Court tackled this case.
Yeah, let's break it down.
What legal principles did they use to understand this whole situation?
Right, because we have the story now. We need the law.
Exactly. So the court had two main questions to answer, right?
All right, lay them on me.
First was that letter from Jones to Dr. Herzog.
The one where he said request payment.
Yes. Was that actually a valid enforceable assignment?
Meaning legally binding?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Did Irace and Lowry have to follow through on that?
Right. That's question number one.
And second, even if it was a valid assignment.
Okay, let's say it was.
Would honoring it somehow go against the lawyer's ethical duty to their client, Mr. Jones?
Ah, so we're talking about conflicting obligations here.
Right. Could they be ethically bound to follow their client's later instructions?
Even if it meant breaking a previous agreement?
Exactly. These are the two big issues the court had to untangle.
It's a legal knot for sure.
So to answer the first question.
About whether the assignment was valid.
The court had to dive into assignment law.
Okay, back to the basics.
Now, for those of you who haven't come across this yet.
Law students, this one's for you.
An assignment in legal terms is basically transferring a right or benefit from one person to another.
So like handing off a legal right?
Exactly. And for an assignment to be valid.
Meaning it holds up in court.
The person making the transfer, the assigner.
In our case, Mr. Jones.
They have to clearly show they intend to give up that right.
Like no take backs.
Right. And the party who has to fulfill that, right?
The one who has to pay up.
The obligor, which in this case is Irace and Lowry.
They're the ones holding the money.
They have to be properly notified.
So everyone's on the same page.
Exactly. Everyone knows what's going on.
Okay. So that's assignment law in a nutshell.
Now let's break down those elements.
Let's get into the nitty gritty.
Starting with intent.
Right. Did Jones really mean to assign the money?
So Jones used that word request in his letter.
That's what we were talking about before.
And the lawyers argued that this wasn't strong enough.
Like it wasn't a clear command.
Yeah, they said it was more like a suggestion.
Like, hey, it would be nice if you paid the doctor.
Not like you had to pay the doctor.
So what did the court think about that word choice?
That's a good point.
Because words matter in law.
They do. And the court, they recognized that request on its own.
Just that one word by itself.
Could be seen as a bit vague.
Open to interpretation.
And this is key.
This is where it gets interesting.
They didn't just look at that one word.
Thank goodness.
They looked at the whole letter.
The context.
And everything surrounding it.
The big picture.
And they figure that in this situation, Jones was pretty clearly saying, hey, I want and expect Dr. Herzog to get paid straight from that settlement money.
So his intention was there, even if the wording wasn't perfect.
And a court pointed out something really important.
What's that?
Jones didn't keep any control over that assigned money once he wrote the letter.
Like he couldn't just change his mind on a whim.
It wasn't like he said, pay Dr. Herzog if there's enough left over after I get my share.
Or only pay him this much.
Or put any conditions on it.
So she was relinquishing control.
Giving up his power over that specific money.
Okay, so the court's saying it's not just about the exact words, but the overall meaning and whether the person gave up control of the funds.
Exactly. So they focused on the substance over the semantics.
Makes sense. They're looking at the heart of the matter.
Now, what about the fact the letter didn't say exactly how much to pay Dr. Herzog?
Ah, good point. There was no specific dollar amount.
Right. Did that hurt the validity of the assignment in the court's eyes?
That's a good question, because usually you'd want that spelled out.
You'd think so, right?
So what did the court say?
Well, interestingly, the court said that the lack of a specific dollar amount wasn't a deal breaker in this case.
Really, even without a precise number?
Yeah, they reasoned that the assignment was directly tied to paying for Dr. Herzog's medical services,
which were considered necessary for Jones's shoulder injury.
Right, and everyone agreed those services were reasonable.
So the amount owed to Dr. Herzog would just be the fair value of the treatment he provided?
Exactly. So while having a specific dollar figure can make things clearer.
And avoid arguments down the line.
It wasn't essential here because the intention was clear.
Okay, so the court's being pretty flexible here as long as the intent is clear.
They're looking at the big picture.
Okay, so I've got intent established.
Right, so let's move on to the second crucial element.
Which is?
Notice.
Ah, right. Did the lawyers know about this agreement?
Was there enough proof that Irace and Lowry knew Jones had assigned these funds to Dr. Herzog?
Because they can't be held responsible if they were in the dark?
Exactly, and this part's pretty straightforward.
You hit it on me.
Dr. Herzog, he didn't just sit back.
He was proactive.
He contacted Irace and Lowry directly.
Yeah, went right to the source.
Told him about the assignment of benefits.
Hey, this letter says I get paid from the settlement.
And remember their own employee.
Oof, that's gonna sting.
Confirmed to Dr. Herzog that the letter was enough to guarantee payment.
So they essentially verified it.
So yeah, there's no doubt the law firm knew about the assignment.
They were fully informed.
Okay, so we've got intent established. We've got proper notice given.
Check.
Looks like a valid assignment, legally speaking.
So far, so good for the doctor.
But now we get to that second big question.
The ethical dilemma.
The ethical considerations.
Right, because lawyers have a duty to their clients.
Exactly. And Irace and Lowry argued that their main ethical duty was loyalty to Mr. Jones.
Their client always comes first.
So when Jones later told them not to pay Dr. Herzog,
even though he'd signed that earlier agreement,
they felt ethically obligated to follow those latest instructions.
Because those were the client's current wishes.
So how did the Maine Supreme Court address that argument?
Because that's a tough one, balancing client wishes with legal obligations.
It is, and this is where the court made a really crucial distinction.
Okay, this is important.
And it has huge implications for lawyers.
So pay attention, folks.
They explained that once a valid assignment is made,
like we've established here,
and the party who has to pay,
the lawyers holding the settlement funds,
they get proper notice,
they know about the assignment,
the legal right to those specific funds,
that exact chunk of money,
it transfers to the assignee,
to Dr. Herzog.
That money doesn't legally belong just to the assigner, Mr. Jones, anymore.
Not in the same way it did before.
And this is the key part. The court said those funds are impressed with a trust for the assignee.
Impressed with a trust? What does that mean?
It means once that assignment is valid and the lawyer knows about it,
okay,
those specific dollars aren't entirely the client's to control anymore.
So it's like that money's already earmarked for someone else.
Exactly. It's not just floating around freely.
It's got a specific purpose.
So in the court's view,
okay,
by honoring the original assignment,
by paying Dr. Herzog,
the lawyers weren't betraying their client.
They weren't being disloyal.
They were actually fulfilling their fiduciary duty.
Their duty to act in their client's best interest.
And to handle their affairs responsibly.
So by paying Dr. Herzog, they were doing what they were supposed to do.
Right, because they were properly disbursing funds.
That legally belonged to someone else.
To Dr. Herzog.
So they were upholding the law and their ethical duty.
Exactly. The court reasoned that a lawyer's fiduciary duty.
That duty to act in their client's best interest.
It's not just about blindly doing whatever the client says.
Especially when those instructions clash with legal agreements.
Right. You can't just ignore a legally binding contract.
So their duty also includes making sure that any money they're holding in trust,
like settlement funds,
gets paid out correctly
to the right people,
including a valid assignee like Dr. Herzog.
So honoring a valid assignment,
it actually lines up with their ethical obligations
to handle money correctly and uphold the law.
They can't just ignore a legal transfer of funds just because the client changes their mind.
This is a really important point. It shows that while client loyalty is super important,
it's the foundation of the attorney-client relationship.
It doesn't mean lawyers can ignore other legal obligations.
Or agreements their client made.
And it's interesting, the court specifically pointed out the difference between assigning the proceeds of a legal claim.
Like what happened in this case.
And assigning the whole claim itself.
Like selling your right to sue.
Which is generally not allowed.
Because of concerns about champerty and maintenance.
These are old legal doctrines that prevent people from meddling in lawsuits for profit.
Like ambulance chasers?
The court wanted to make it clear that's not what was happening here.
Right. Dr. Herzog wasn't buying the lawsuit.
Exactly. Mr. Jones wasn't trying to sell his lawsuit to Dr. Herzog.
Okay.
He was just saying, hey, use part of the money from that lawsuit to pay for my medical bills.
So he was directing a portion of the potential recovery?
For a specific purpose.
Okay, I see the distinction.
And the court said this kind of assignment of proceeds,
earmarking part of the money,
is generally allowed and enforceable.
Good to know.
So after looking at all these legal principles and the specific facts of the case,
they did their due diligence.
What was the final verdict?
What did the Maine Supreme Court decide?
Well, the court, they completely agreed with the lower courts.
Okay, so they sided with Dr. Herzog?
They said the assignment from Mr. Jones to Dr. Herzog,
the one about the settlement money,
was valid and enforceable against Irace and Lowry.
The lawyers had to follow through.
And they said honoring this assignment didn't violate the lawyer's ethical obligations at all.
So the court's sending a clear message here.
And they used some pretty strong language to get that message across.
Give me an example.
They said the settlement funds were impressed with a trust.
Yeah, we talked about that phrase.
Once the assignment was valid and notice was given.
So that really highlights that these funds were set aside for Dr. Herzog?
It wasn't just a casual promise.
It was a legal obligation.
And they said, and I quote, a valid assignment must be honored by the attorney.
Wow, that's pretty straightforward.
No room for interpretation there.
It's black and white.
This ruling has some big practical implications for lawyers.
Definitely changes how they have to approach these situations.
They need to be super careful when a client tells them to pay settlement money to someone else.
They can't just assume they can ignore that if the client changes their mind later.
Exactly. It's a binding agreement.
So lawyers really need to understand these financial arrangements.
And their legal effect.
Especially when it involves a case they're handling.
This case actually brings up an interesting hypothetical situation.
Oh, I love hypotheticals.
It's something for our listeners to think about.
All right. Hit us with it.
What if in this case, the personal injury case didn't settle for $20,000?
Okay.
What if it settled for way less?
Like how much less?
Let's say only $3,000.
Okay, significantly less.
And let's say the amount Jones assigned to Dr. Herzog
for the shoulder surgery
was $5,000.
So there's not enough money to cover the assignment.
Exactly. How would that be handled legally?
That's a good question. Who gets what?
Unfortunately, the Herzog v. Race case doesn't give us a clear answer.
So we're left wondering.
But it's something for legal professionals to keep in mind.
For sure, it highlights the complexities that can come up.
So let's summarize the key takeaways from Herzog v. Race.
The lessons for all the law students out there.
What do you really need to remember from this case?
The main takeaway is to understand what makes a valid, enforceable assignment.
The essential ingredients.
First, the client has to clearly intend to transfer their right to the funds.
No ambiguity there.
And second, the lawyer holding those funds has to be properly notified.
They have to know what's going on.
Once those two things are in place, the lawyer has to honor that assignment.
It's a legal duty.
They can't just ignore it because the client has second thoughts.
Because the client has already given up their control over that money.
It's not theirs to command anymore.
This case is a good reminder that as legal professionals,
as lawyers,
our duties go beyond just following our client's every instruction.
It's not just blind obedience.
We also have to respect and uphold valid legal agreements.
Even if the client later wants to back out.
Now, this specific case dealt with assigned settlement proceeds.
In a personal injury case.
But the legal principles we've talked about.
About enforceability of assignments and the duties of the person who has to pay.
They raise a bigger question.
Okay, I'm listening.
How might these principles apply to other financial obligations or agreements in different legal contexts?
So it's not just limited to personal injury cases.
Exactly. This is something to think about as you continue your legal studies.
And build your careers.
It's about applying these concepts to new situations.
Because the law is all about applying principles to different facts.
And that's what makes it so fascinating.
And challenging.
And that's a wrap on another deep dive.
Until next time.